The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And here we go, Digital Adele back with some more Hoops Profile for you with our special guest, Matt Hanifan. So today we're going to be talking about the Boston Celtics and their two draft picks in this one. Before I get into that, just real quick, Matt, give the people a rundown of where they can follow you and find your work.
At MPH underscore A24 underscore, that's where you can find all of my work. Twitter, hothoops.com, vendettasportsmedia.com, notwestconnection.com. I'm all over the place, man. Five Reasons Sports, we do playback on watchplayback.tv. So please go check that out too. But man, I'm ready to talk some prospects. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. Thanks for asking, man. I really enjoyed rewatching the Summer League game. I ended up watching the Boston Celtics versus the Miami Heat, actually. And it was a good test for Baylor. I thought it would be appropriate to watch that game because he had to guard Jaime Jaquez Jr. all over the court. So I liked it. But let me get this graphic to pop up on the screen for us, and then we'll get right into it. It's literally the slowest graphic ever. But there it is. Baylor Shireman right on the screen now for our audience. They're going to be able to see him. But I liked it. It's cool. I worked really hard on it. So just to start off of what I liked, right? So like Baylor is known obviously for his shooting prowess. Like that's his thing. Even though when you really key in on his like form, his form's nice, but he's got a funky, like, sideways spin on the ball, which I always find interesting for shooters that are good shooters, but they still get some kind of weird sideways spin. And so I think he's going to be one of those guys that's really streaky, and he can have, like, long stretches where he'll miss some shots. But once he dials it in and he's on target, man, he can be a handful. And what I mean by that, I was doing a little digging into his stats, and he ended up shooting 42.9% from three in the game I watched, and he was missing everything in the first half. He ended up with 17 points. You know, he's a very streaky shooter in my opinion, and being on a team like the Boston Celtics, I think that's right up his alley because he doesn't handle very well. I mean, it's awkward. It's an adventure watching this guy try to navigate off the dribble. Like it's an adventure. And eventually like he'll stop and like turn his back and like back his way down a little because he doesn't know what else to do at that point. And then even one time, like I watched him do it, like it was a real slow crossover, got in a lane, didn't know what to do, turned his back. But he's super perceptive. He's a high IQ player. Saw a cutter, whoop, flipped to a cutter. Oh, that was a great pass. It wasn't like it's what he meant to have happen, but because his teammate made a good cut, he saw it, read it, made the pass. He ended up with 6 assists in that game and 5 rebounds. And even in the games where he had bad shooting nights, because I looked at the stats at all the games. He had some stats in the teens for his 3-point shooting, like 17%, 18%. He still gave you the out of area rebounding, which I think is going to be a big thing to get him on the floor. His point of attack defense is not great. Jaime got him in foul trouble quick. He had 6 fouls in that game. They were like, oh, we got to get him off the ball, and they moved him off ball. But he's a much better team defender. He reads passing lanes well. He'll get a tip. So I liked what I saw from him, though, overall. How about you?
I see. I didn't rewatch the Heat game. I know we watched it at the time over on Playback. I believe you were on that stream as well. I watched his last couple of games, and the takeaway that I had was the streaky shooting. Like, that was like primarily because, I mean, against the Sixers, his last game, I believe he shot, I think he started like 0-5 from deep, 0-6 from deep. But the thing he did after he shot that, I think it was, I want to say it was his 4th or 5th three that he shot. It was like a 2-on-1 to a 3-on-2 fast break. He caught it in the corner, missed it. He immediately drew a charge. Like, very next possession, drew a charge. And it's just like, just the little things like that was something that I liked from him. I think the part that I liked from him the most throughout his summer was his passing. And to your point, like, yeah, he's not great with the handle. He's not super creative with it. He's much more of a physical player than a finesse player in that way. But the thing with him is that, like, he is very intuitive with his passing reads and stuff like that. Like, there was a play in the Philly game where he was backing a dude down on the base, the left baseline, and he immediately turned around, sees Jordan Walsh on a slot cut, nails him for a layup. All right, it was either a layup or a dunk. I can't remember what it was. But it was just, like, the little stuff like that. And then there were times, not often, but there were times where, you know, he was operating out of the pick and roll and stuff like that. But just his intuitive passing, being able to read cutters. They used him as a screener a little bit, which I thought was interesting at certain points. Like, there were times, I think in the Dallas game where there was a stint, I want to say it was toward the end of the first half, early second, where they were running Spain pick and roll. And they did that on 3 or 4 straight possessions with Watson, who we're going to talk about a little later, and Shireman. And Shireman was that, like, that kind of back screener. And, like, they were just doing different stuff out of that, reading how Dallas was defending it. But I just thought that was interesting, because I think you can probably see that in an NBA context with them, just in, like, those particular sets of bots, if that's something that Joe Mazzulla wants to do. But in terms of his offensive game, yeah, he was really streaky just from a shooting perspective. There were times where I just didn't know where his shot was going. But there were other times where, you know, he was getting his feet set under him, and he, you know, his form, again, not it, to your point, there's a little bit of a twist on it. It is a little bit of a funky rotation with it, but there were times where, you know, he was getting his feet set under him. He was well balanced. He was getting clean shots off, and sometimes they were going in, sometimes they weren't. But I think for him, like, he was very fluid. Like, he wasn't trying to do too much within the offense all the time, and he was playing within that kind of flow. And so that was just something that I liked from him. Like, he wasn't always forcing an issue. Sometimes he was when he was getting into the paint, but it wasn't all the time. And so those were just a few things that I liked from him, just looking back and at some of these performances.
Yeah, absolutely. And you make a good point about his physicality. He's a big guy, and he's going to be able to body people. He's a tweener in a lot of ways. I know the league is going positionless, and I always say there's only one position that's a true position. That's point guard, and then you got wings and bigs. But he's kind of a big and kind of a wing, like, not really fast enough to be considered a mobile wing that can handle. And he's big, but not really tall enough to be considered a true big. So he's in that awkward spot. But he couldn't have. We called this pre-draft, though. Anybody that's looked at our pre-draft coverage on Playback or looked at my draft videos, we pretty much all knew Baylor Shireman was going to end up to be a Celtic. Like, he's the definition of a Celtic. And so
in our Five Reasons Discord, I remember, I want to say it was 1 or 2 days before the draft, we had like a draft chat going there, and I made the comment, like, I'm preemptively mad that Baylor Shireman is going to be a Celtic.
Yeah,
because I really liked him out of college.
I do remember that comment. I absolutely remember that comment. Yeah, you're preemptively angry that he was a Celtic. That's funny.
Yeah.
That is really funny. Yeah, but no, I mean, back to just some of the analysis there. I mean, because he's that kind of tweener, one of the things that stood out to me, and in my notes, which I kind of got to drag closer to me because I got him way on the other side of my big monitor. On my notes is that the key to him being able to be on the floor for the Celtics to play a role, he's going to have to be consistent from hitting the 3-point shot. Like, that's going to have to, you know, I know he's streaky, but he can't live that way. He can't live that way consistently on a championship team. They're going to want him to come in few spot minutes if he ever does get minutes. Like, say Sam Hauser gets injured and he's going to need to come in and, you know, do some spot minutes or whatever. He's going to have to be consistent right away. They're not going to wait through 3 or 4 or 5 open misses, right? And so the other critical thing is going to be, can he attack the close? And he's just so slow a foot that, like, it's such an awkward thing when he does attack the close. Like, his vision and, like I said, his passing and playmaking abilities there, but it's just, can he attack that initial closeout defender and be a threat to where he draws more than one and, you know, dish the ball to the open man, which he's very capable of doing. So, you know, those are my thoughts for his viability on being able to attack, you know, get minutes this season. What are your thoughts on that?
Brad Stevens said, I believe it was before the draft, like a week before the draft, or somewhere in that time frame, where it was going to be hard for whoever they draft to make the rotation.
Right.
Like this season.
Yep.
I think Baylor's shot, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of variables to that. Like, you know, someone gets injured or someone's not performing as well. Like, whatever the case is, Baylor Scheinman is a guy where I could see him playing a role. Like, he shot over 70% of his attempts from three in the summer league. Again, only had a 29% clip. Obviously, it wasn't good. I think he's going to positively regress. Yeah, not great. He's going to positively, I think, regress to that mark. Like, I feel like him as a rookie in a reasonable sample is probably like a 35-ish% 3-point shooter. At least that's where I think I want to say he was around 38-39% his last year at Creighton. So that's kind of where I see him at as a rookie. And I think, like, you will see a more consistent Baylor Scheinman just from a shooting perspective in an NBA context outside of summer league. So I think that will be there. He came out media day. Their media day was on Tuesday because they're overseas. And he said he added like 20 pounds of muscle. And so I think, like, I don't know if he, or it was some like 15, 20 pounds. I don't know how you do that in a couple months. I'm not a doctor or a nutritionist or whatever. But like he's changing his body. He changed his diet. He said all that different stuff. And so, to your point, like, I don't know how much he's going to be willing to, or how much he can attack closeouts. Maybe, I mean, again, if you swing it to him on the second or third side or whatever the case is, maybe he's able to get, you know, a couple steps on a defender or something like that. Like, he's savvy enough to where, like, even if he doesn't get a step, he can still find a way to get into the lane. And they're a team that plays a lot of five out, and they're going to space the floor. And that's something that Joe Mazzulla preaches incessantly. And so I think he's going to have room to operate if he's on the floor. And so I'm not super worried about that part of it. Defensively, I wasn't particularly impressed. Like, the team defense, I would agree with you, but the individual point of attack defense, there were times where, like, I thought there were some good moments, but I also thought there were some, like, pretty bad moments. And he kind of reminds me of Hauser in that respect, although I think Hauser has really, really grown as an isolation defender. And the thing with Scheinman is, I don't think he's going to be expected is the wrong word. I think, like, he's going to be pressured into being some high caliber average NBA defender with positions that he guards, only because he's going to be flanked by Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Jrue Holiday, Derek White, so on and so forth. You go on down the line, they have plenty of good defenders behind him. And so I don't know if they're going to ask that from him right away, but there were some times, like, even off ball, there were a couple times where, like, I just didn't like the screen navigation all that much. And again, that's super nitpicky.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Something that you can clean up over a reasonable amount of time. And I don't know if he's ever expected – I don't know if he's ever going to be expected to be a high-caliber defender. I don't think they really need him to either. So that's just kind of where I stand on that. So I think for him just to crack the rotation, like, again, it's going to be so unbelievably tough just because they have their top 9 or 10 guys from last year. I think – just the consistency, to your point, is something that is going to be needed. And just he needs to have an impressive training camp. And I don't know if reps are as important for him as it would be for a guy like Jordan Walsh when he was first a rookie, but reps never hurt. And so that's where I think maybe he gets a stint in Maine or something like that. I don't know.
Right.
Something of that, maybe.
No, and you make a great point, too, and an interesting point about him bulking up already, 20 to 30 pounds or whatever. That sounds...
He said, like, 20 pounds, I believe. It was 15, 20 pounds, something around there, and it's just, like, again, I don't know how that happens in 2 months, but...
Well, that's significant. Not my job to know. It's significant for a couple of reasons. It also signals it sounds like they're going to play him as a big, more than a wing, and he'll fill that... small ball forward type of role. And, you know, that's not the worst thing in the world because he was getting abused off the bounce. He couldn't keep anybody out of the lane. It just wasn't a good day for him in that regard. And he's a very linear athlete, very stiff hipped. Like that, that goes to your screen navigation issues. So, I mean, I'm interested to see how he does. I'm intrigued about, you know, what he can bring. I doubt there's going to be much he's going to bring year one. But he can be a developmental piece if he can get that consistency down, work on his foot speed, his agility. He can, you know, find or carve out a role in the NBA. I mean, when you're picking 30th overall in the first round, it's a lottery, you know, it's a roll of the dice.
And they got a guy with a winning pedigree.
Yeah. Oh,
a guy who's going to do whatever it takes.
Well, you bring up a point that my addled brain forgot to bring up. He's better as the game goes on. In every instance I've seen him play in college and throughout the summer league, his first half, not so great. Second half, when the game's tight and competitive, he's better. And that shows the heart and desire and the want to win. And that's a big proponent of being successful in the NBA. So with that, let's pivot to Sir Anton Watson, who I've just made British, you know, from Britain and knighted him, Sir Anton Watson. He's 6'8", 230 out of Gonzaga, and you did some research on him, and I'm interested in your thoughts on the power forward from Gonzaga.
I would be lying to you if I said that I knew a whole lot about Anton Watson pre-draft, because I just didn't. And so this, so watching him in summer league was like probably my first really big time, like my first, I guess, extensive time watching him, you know, full games and whatnot. And I liked what I saw. I really liked what I saw. And let me tell you why. When he was at Gonzaga, like the thing, at least if the scouting reports that you read and whatnot, just trying to find any bit of information on some of these guys and like who they are as players and whatnot. The book on him was like, defensively, he was like, you know, a sound defender. He could guard multiple positions. He was a big enough body. He had enough foot speed, this, that, and the other. But the thing that was lacking from him was a jump shot, or at least that was like the biggest concern. And you look at his stats last year, he shot, I want to say it was around like 41, 42% from deep, but it was on really low volume. Like it was his three-point rate, the percentage of field goal attempts that were threes was like, I want to say somewhere like around 15%. Or I don't know. I know I don't have that exactly right, but it was somewhere in that ilk.
Right.
But in summer league, 20 of his 45 attempts were from three. So that was like an interesting twist when you go back and watch these games. Like, it feels like they were wanting him to space the floor. He actually knocked him down at a 35% clip. So 7 of 20 in summer league.
Wow.
He shot 51.1% overall. Like, he was knocking him down. And the thing that stood out to me with him was he was willing to take it. And in addition to that, considering how they kind of wanted their players to space, he was doing a good job off ball. Like, there was some definite like cuts and stuff, and things off ball that he was doing a good job of. Like, it wasn't, he was kind of spaced at the corner and at the wing a lot, but again, there were times where, you know, either Shireman, Jalen House, whomever would, you know, get in the lane or whatnot, he would find a slot cut, 45 cut, whatever word you want to use for it, and he was, you know, getting in the lane. And then with the rebounding, like, I thought he was doing a good job rebounding, just in case, like, tip outs and fighting for rebounds. Like, again, 6'8", 230, like, it felt to me that he was like a little bigger than 230 in a complimentary way. And then defensively is where I was really impressed, just in the sense that, like, I think he can probably guard, at least at the NBA level. He's on a two-way contract, so for one, I don't know if he's going to be playing a whole lot as a rookie. But I think he can probably guard threes and fours and maybe smaller fives. Like, he has that kind of versatility. And I think there might be times where he guards too. It's like they were switching a lot of their actions, and he was doing a really good job holding his own. And he had like the instincts and whatnot. And like, not that he was creating a whole bunch of deflections or whatever, but he was, you know, keeping defenders in front, flattening out opposing offenses and opposing ball handlers, just doing his job and what he needed to do. And I walked away really impressed just with what I saw. And like, he didn't light up the stat sheet, 11.8 points per game, 5.2 rebounds. He averaged a block per game, like nothing super crazy or anything like that. And it's not like he was getting the ball. He not like his usage was, you know, particularly high or anything like that, but just, there was some glue guy stuff. There was some intuitive stuff that I just liked a lot from him. And it's something that's like, I'm filing in the back of my head for whenever, you know, when Skyforce season comes up, I'm watching Maine or whatever, if he's there. And just something that I think that they're going to just work on with him in terms of the jump shooting, just continue to hone it in defensively, the finishing, like all of that stuff. I think they're just going to continue to nail and focus on. Like, there were a couple of times where he had a decent handle. Like, obviously he wasn't handling it in space a lot. He was one of their bigs that they had on their summer league squad. And so it's not like, you know, he was bringing the ball up into the floor and initiating pick and rolls or whatever. He wasn't doing any of that, but there were a couple of times where on the perimeter where he was getting the ball and he would take a few dribbles, and, you know, you could tell that like there were some ball skills that he had that he just, I don't know, wasn't confident enough in flashing or was told not to, which may have also been the directive from them. I don't know. But just in general there, I liked what I saw from him, just from like, I thought he displayed an interesting, intriguing two-way skill set that I'm just filing away for the future if, you know, if he ever makes the rotation or whatnot.
So it was more of like something you weren't expecting, basically.
I tried to go in with an open mind.
Yeah.
In the sense that, like, I just didn't know a whole lot about him.
Right.
And outside of, you know, him having a defensive pedigree. And
right,
even really on that end, I was more impressed than I expected to be, I guess is the word I'm looking for. There was some stuff that I liked.
Yeah, you can't ask any more than that from a guy that gets drafted that late, you know, in the game. So I'll be honest with you. Like I said, in my game, he didn't stand out to me, and I wasn't really specifically watching for him. And I went back and checked the stats because I was intrigued. Like, oh, was I missing something? He didn't do anything in that Heat game. Literally nothing. Like, he had like 8 points, 0-for-1 from the three. He didn't even take more than one three. 2 rebounds, no assists, nothing. Like, there's nothing else. Like, I don't even think he committed a foul. Like, so
let me read you his stats from his last three games.
Yeah, yeah.
So 24 minutes against the Hornets, 15 points, 6-of-12 shooting, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block.
I like it.
Against Dallas, 28 minutes, 14 points, 5-of-11 shooting, 2-of-4 from 3-point range. 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. He also made 3 threes in that Hornets game, 3-of-9.
That's interesting. That's interesting. That's a great.
And then go on.
I was going to say, that's a great thing to see for a young player when they're filling up every stat line on the stat sheet, right? Especially as a two-way guy.
Yeah. And then his last game, 27 minutes. 15 points, 6-of-12 shooting, 2-of-5 from deep, 4 rebounds and 3 assists.
I like it, dude.
And only two of those games, he committed only more than one foul.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't commit any fouls in the Heat game either. So, like, to play defense without fouling, to be able to rebound, play make, put the ball in the bucket, definitely something to file away, man. You got one over on me.
I mean, cool. Again, I'm not sure how much of a playmaker he's going to be, but there were just some times where, like, again, with some of the rebounding, some of the defensive stuff, the jump shooting, where I was just like, okay, like, I kind of like what I see.
But
I kind of like what I see.
But when you put it in the context of a system, he can make the right read and get the ball where it needs to go. That's what that shows whenever, like, because in summer league, it's not 1-for-1, like, oh yeah, he did this in summer league. He's gonna do this in a real NBA game.
Yeah,
but you can see that if he can do that consistently in summer league, when the coach puts him in actions and sets, that he's gonna be able to get the ball to the right spot and make a good decision.
Yeah.
But so real quick, so here's gonna be the roadmap for next week. Next week we're gonna keep this thing rolling in alphabetical order. We're gonna go with the Brooklyn Nets. On our Tuesday taping, which will come out on a Wednesday, and then the Thursday taping, which will come out on a Friday for the audience, that is going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers. So we got a lot to dig into. It's going to be interesting. Don't forget to let us know what you think in the comments down below of Baylor Shireman and Anton Watson, Sir Anton Watson, because I've knighted him. And, and yeah, don't forget to like and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend, man. We're going to keep this thing rolling, and we want to have Matt on as much as we can. He's been phenomenal. And again, Matt, don't forget to tell these people where they can find you, follow you, and get more of your work.
At MPH_824_ I'm trying to remember why I had such a complicated Twitter handle. I know I changed it at one point or something. Anyway, that's something different from a different name. HotHotHoops.com. I've been writing for Heat Blog for God knows how many years. Love doing it. So please go check out all my work there. VendettaSportsMedia.com, MountainWestConnection.com. I'm covering a lot of different stuff for a lot of different people. And that's how I always like to phrase it. We're on Playback, the 5 Reasons Playback. WatchPlayback.tv. That's where you can find us. We're going to be watching Miami Heat games live during the regular season once that tips off, and even in the preseason. And yeah, man, everyone, please go check all of my stuff out there. Check out all of our stuff, 5 Reasons. And yeah, man, thank you for having me on.
You're welcome anytime, man. Glad to have you. And for me, guys, as always, you can find me here at Hoops Profile on YouTube, Digital Adele on all social media profiles. Also a contributor at Five Reasons Sports. We'll see you next time.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.